It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here for the last time this year. And bright and sunny as always. It's a beautiful day, and if you're just out doing nothing, turn your radio over to WBOB. And if you're sitting around, you can get us on the computer or radio or whatever, 101.1 on the FM dial, 600 on the AM dial. No reason to miss the show ever. I'm going to treat this show today as if it is also being heard on January 1, because our intent as it stands right now is to rerun the show on January 1. So there'll be some things that are pertinent to this year and maybe some for next year, but I know Howard and Angela are coming in on the first, but I am not. Adam is out of town anyway, and I just don't think people want to start out the first of the year by talking about numbers and stuff like that. So we're going to do the unthinkable and take 2 weeks off.
And first time ever.
Yeah. It doubles the number of non-live shows we've ever done.
That's right.
And the other two being solely because the station was shut down and the area was evacuated for hurricanes. But it had to come sometime because there are 7 days in a week and Christmas is missed all six of them. Six. It's missed Saturdays. That's what I'm trying to say. The crazy part is it's missed it for 7 years now.
Yeah.
We're wrapping up 7 years at the end of January.
Yeah, you get
incredible
leap year in there and it moves 2 days.
Yeah, and it just happened to hop over that one. We've been very fortunate that way because, let's face it, we'd rather be here than most other places. Anyway, thanks to all the regulars. We depend on you, as you know, and we're going to, assuming all goes well, and there's no reason it won't, we're going to start out next year with three more programs, probably four more programs. It's probably a five-Saturday month. But then the first Saturday in February is always my favorite because it's the beginning of our new year, which will be the eighth year, and we always like to review the stories of the first show ever, which are quite humorous in retrospect. Mm-hmm. Not so much while we were sitting here, but
no.
It all works out in the end. So lots going on out there, as always, politically and every other way, that they're all going to affect your money one way or the other. Howard was talking a bit about the Fed decision. We'll get into that a bit. And we're, of course, different than most people when it comes to our analysis of such things. We are actually thrilled that the Fed is raising interest rates for a couple of different reasons that we will get into, but not just yet. We will have a trivia question after the break, and we'll talk about all the stuff we want to talk about, as always, unless you pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, at which time you'll get put on right away, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. So, without any further side tricks, let's talk a little bit about the market that does not have good news to report, but it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, honestly.
No.
There was I would call it a flood of new information for investors to digest this week. It was just everywhere. The market really reflected that. It was pretty volatile both ways, up and down. And the Fed, as you mentioned, made a major pivot this week. And the market first loved it before it hated it. So
it always happens.
Yeah,
back-to-back days.
Time.
You try to predict which one is going to happen first and which one is second. You'll be wrong most of the time.
Absolutely.
But if you say there'll be an up day and a down day, you'll be right almost 100%.
So then you add a little Omicron variant news in there, and then a quadruple witching day on Friday. That didn't help an already volatile week. So if you're not familiar with a quadruple witching day, that's when four things happen at the same time. Stock index futures, stock index options, stock options, and single stock futures all expire on the same day. That happens once per quarter. It's the third Friday in the last month of the quarter. And that's what yesterday was. And you'll see huge volumes and a lot of volatility. And that's exactly what we saw.
And you add to that that the year is winding down. So a lot of mutual fund managers and so on are doing some window dressing too.
Mm-hmm.
The volume was absolutely astronomical.
Yep. And the week started out on a sort of sour note. 2 days of modest declines. And then Wednesday morning, the market was down again before the Fed meeting. The Fed met, and we saw a huge swing up. I mean, absolutely huge, especially on the NASDAQ after the Fed announced that they were getting more hawkish.
Yeah.
Which, wait a second, that's not how that's supposed to go. So they announced that they are going to raise rates three times next year, probably, and cut their taper in half, so it's done in March instead of June. All of that is the opposite of easy monetary policy that the market has grown so in love with, and everyone has been worried that once this happens that the market's going to tank. That's not what happened on Wednesday. It did the opposite, and I think, to me, that was a signal that the market thinks that there's more risk from rising prices than there is from rising interest rates.
That I agree with completely. And really, it wasn't that hawkish either. If you look underlying at the inflation rate versus the interest rate, and the long-term rates and the high yield rates and all that, it's still a very, very dovish position. It's that inflation that's, as you said, it's just ruining everything.
It really is. I'll talk more about inflation. You can't not talk about it because it's so pervasive right now, a little bit later on. But that's probably the thing that's on every investor's mind right now headed into 2022. So Thursday and Friday, we saw those gains reversed. And the net was that the Dow was down 1.7, the S&P was down 1.9, and the NASDAQ was down 2.9% for the week. U.S. wasn't the only country that is looking at rate hikes, though, as well. So Norway, the U.K., Mexico, Chile, Colombia, Hungary, Russia, mm-hmm. Poland, Brazil, and Peru have all hiked rates in the last 2 weeks. Kind of surprised to learn that that list was that long when I was researching mm-hmm. it this morning. Turkey was the only country to cut rates this month, and that happened during rampant inflation in their country. It's devalued their currency by 43% in the last 2 months.
I have an observation on that. You, most of you know that Turkey is run by the noted economist named Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And his view is that inflation is caused by high interest rates. I think I even heard John Maynard Keynes roll over in his grave on that one.
What? School did he study economics at?
Yeah, must be somewhere out of this country. There are two basic branches of economics in this country, the Keynesian and the monetarist, and they're both nowhere near Erdogan's. Maybe he's looking for the Erdogan School of Economics as his next career.
Yeah, maybe so.
As far as I'm concerned,
so
they can keep him over there.
Is it just me, or did you think that the timing of Powell suddenly reversing course 180 degrees was a little suspicious, considering that just got...
Logical.
Yeah, just got his job guaranteed for a few more years. So,
you think there might have been a little, you know, we're assuming, or we believe, or a little cajoling and coddling going on there?
Yeah, I mean... That
or just threatens.
Maybe.
Knowing this administration, he's probably threatened.
Could be. Anyways.
For some reason, he wants that job.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You got to be nuts to take on something like that. My humble opinion.
Agreed. I would never take that job.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll wrap all this up after the break and then get into some other things, including the trivia question. So don't go anywhere. We'll pay some bills and be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I do want to give out the trivia question, but just a couple more comments on the ridiculousness of what they're doing in Turkey. Erdogan has said over and over that inflation is caused by high interest rates. So he cut his interest rates from 15 to 14 this week, down all the way from 19. And here's one of the kickers. The lira, their currency, has lost 55% of its value against the dollar. And the current inflation rate is 21%.
Oh.
So much for the Erdogan School of Weird Economics.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Anyway, trivia question brought to you as usual by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. If you average the ages of the top 15 publicly traded companies in the U.S., the average age is 45. What is that same number for Canada? And I'm not going to tell you why I'm asking it yet.
Okay.
But
that's a tough one.
It is a tough one. And it tells you something I think that's very profound about the difference between that country and this one.
All right.
All right. Millionaire?
Well, no, I've got actually a lot more on the market.
Right, okay. Today. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did have a couple things I wanted to finish too.
Yep.
Shoot.
There was definitely some interesting moves in the market this week. The value stocks outperformed growth. Bonds posted solid gains across the board, which that is counterintuitive because if you think about the threat of rising interest rates, that should drive bond prices down, but it did not. Actually, yields dropped and bond prices went up this week. So a little bit odd there. Gold and silver finally posted some small gains and had some varying results within the sectors of the S&P 500. Healthcare was up just under 3%. Consumer staples was up over 2%, and utilities were up 1.75%. Energy and consumer discretionary were both down around 4.5%, and technology was down 4%. So a pretty big discrepancy between the top up 3% and the bottom down 4.5%.
So there's hope, all you dividend people.
Yeah, I mean, we keep getting these false starts on on the value side,
exactly.
and then growth just takes over. But who knows? Maybe this is the start of something. I'm not going to call that at all, though. Crypto assets also took it on the chin this week. Bitcoin and Ethereum dropped just under 8%. Another asset that sold off this week was natural gas, down over 5% and down almost 28% since Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The funny thing is it's still up 31% this year. International stocks were almost all down on the week, except for Mexico, which posted a solid gain of almost 3% and has been on a really nice run this last month. Much of the volatility worldwide can be traced to the media and the politician-induced panic around the Omicron variant of COVID.
The Rachel Duffy this morning on Fox called it the Omicold.
It does appear to be spreading very quickly.
Yes.
And if you look at South Africa, it's spread much quicker than the other two, I guess, waves. But the death rates are lower by 10x so far. So death tolls tend to be a lagging indicator. So that's not a done deal. But it does appear to be much less deadly than the previous ones so far in South Africa where it started. So.
Yep.
It's interesting to watch what will happen. We'll see if it peaks out or flames out early. Like Delta tend to come in a lot quicker, and this one appears to be even quicker, but even more mild.
This could turn into the biggest and best vaccination deal in the history of the world if everybody just got it, had a little cold for a couple of days, and it went away, and their immune system kicks in. We'll all be better off.
We'll see how that pans out. I'm not even going to guess. This thing has been, you know, it's going to do what it's going to do. So there's nothing we can do about it.
We're just sick of it.
More good news. December is usually the best month of the year in terms of the stock market. And so far, both the Dow and the S&P are positive for the month. The NASDAQ is down 2.4%. However, the strongest returns usually happen in the last 2 weeks of trading, which we're heading into. So it's not a guarantee, but that's usually what happens. That's the trend, I'll say. One other thing, the gap between rising incomes and rising costs due to inflation has been widening, and it's having an effect on consumer sentiment. The gap now stands at negative 2.78, so prices are growing almost 3% faster than wages, and it's been getting worse since early 2020. So it's no wonder that consumer sentiment has been plunging, with more than 28% of Americans expecting to be worse off next year than this year.
Mm-hmm. And the retail sales in November showed it.
Yeah, but it came off of 3 months of really strong numbers.
Yeah,
and
also
so I'm not gonna put too much weight on that until I see what the next few months look
like.
But
it didn't even cover inflation.
No. It fell off a cliff compared to the prior month.
Exactly.
But 28% of Americans expecting to be worse off next year than this year. There's always some percentage that will say that no matter what type of environment you're in, but this is a really high number.
It is.
And the people that should be the most concerned about this are sitting in Washington right now because that is not a good look for them.
They don't care.
They better care. They'll care in November of 2022. They'll care.
Now, one good thing happened. It didn't seem to get enough notice for me, but the BBB plan is bye-bye-bye plan for this year.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's dead, but I, you know, it's wildly unpopular. I think Manchin actually did Biden a favor.
He did, I think.
It's not a popular plan.
Only it's a favor I wanted him to do rather than to vote for the thing and let it happen. If you, it's all backwards that way.
Yeah, it's...
I think Manchin was a tent that a lot of people were hiding inside of also.
Maybe so.
Good morning, Don.
Hey, good morning, boys. How y'all doing? Merry Christmas.
Well, same to you, thank you. What's up?
Y'all gonna go out and get drunk today or something now?
Nah, I'm gonna stay home and stay stupid.
Stay stupid, huh?
Yep.
Okay. I don't want y'all worried about money no more.
Oh, don't you worry. Well,
because I got a perception on the future.
Oh, yeah?
I have a big perception on the future.
Yeah?
What you got for
it? It's going to be good. It's going to be good for everybody, including YouTube.
When does it start? Me. November?
It's already started.
Oh. What is it?
You never wait for a good time. You always go for the good time now. But I think this misery we've been going through for a long time now is going to be over with pretty soon, and you're going to see people change their attitudes about everything.
I love that.
We need to change our attitudes.
We certainly do.
America! America!
I'm with you, my friend.
Yeah.
We need it badly.
Well, Merry Christmas to you two, and I want y'all to stay out of trouble and leave the liquor alone.
All right, you too. You too, Don.
Thank you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Sorry, I missed that last comment.
He just was going to say Happy New Year.
But anyway, I love the attitude that this is going to pass and we'll be back.
Well, that's the only way you can look at it. Otherwise, you'll be miserable, and that's no fun.
Exactly true.
Yep. So it's definitely an interesting time in Washington, and therefore here. And the thing about we were talking about the Build Back Better plan. It's a bunch of social spending programs that are largely unneeded and would be inflationary,
largely unwanted.
Exactly, and it's just not hugely popular outside of the. Biden and his constituent want to just hang their hat on it in the midterms, even if they pass it. It's not enough to save their jobs.
It's not bridges and roads.
No, it's. I don't really understand it, but outside
federal takeover of all elections. Oh yeah, right. That's going to go.
That's going to be real popular too.
Oh yeah.
No, none of the stuff is popular, so I don't really understand the push to get it done, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. So there's that we can be happy about.
Yep.
So, did you want to talk a little bit about a millionaire?
I would like that, actually.
Okay.
Can you run it in a couple of minutes? Otherwise, we'll hold the suspense until...
No, let's not do that. Let's talk about our favorite articles of the week. Mine was that the Bank of America has solved crime in New York City. They recommended to their staff to not wear nice clothing on their way to the office, uh-huh. and that way they would lower their chances of getting robbed while walking through New York City. Uh-huh. So that seemed like a really good plan.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Well, and my other one that was just from this morning, FedEx discovers one sneaky trick to beat the labor shortage.
What is that?
Well, it turns out the trick to hiring workers is... Wait for it now. You ready? Raising pay, offering better benefits, and giving workers more flexibility. Who knew?
Wow. Did they just think of this?
Yeah, and it worked because last week we exceeded 111,000 applications, the highest level in FedEx history.
It's a wow. Other companies should try that.
Well, I don't know if this article got widely disseminated or not.
Maybe they want to keep their corporate secrets like that under wrap.
But my big question, which was not addressed in this article at all, this is from Breitbart, by the way, if you want to read it. Can price increases be passed along and sustained throughout another year? That's
a good question.
Everything is very inflationary here in an inflationary environment. And I know one... might cause the other one might push another one, I don't know. But it's a good time, if you're in business, to raise your prices because people are expecting it. But are they going to stick when all this is over? I don't know. But right now, if you want your package delivered, go FedEx at this point, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if that is it has been costing noticeably more to ship things recently, yeah. And that's part of the problem.
Well, what two things, if you look at the delivery business, what are the two major things? Transportation, which, of course, gasoline and so on going way up, and labor, which is, again, going way up. All right, lots more after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have our trivia questions still open. The average age of the top 15 publicly traded American companies is 45 years. What is the average age of the same statistic for Canada? And we have no guesses yet.
Not yet, no.
And we were chuckling in the break about Elon Musk.
Who may be my hero now.
He has certainly been a breath of fresh air lately.
Absolutely. Just, I mean, the guy is just so fact-based, and he is not afraid to take out some people on Twitter.
That's the truth. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. So I came in second on Angela and Howard's show.
I was listening.
So I thought I'd give it a shot, and I think I have the answer.
What is it?
It's 122.
You got it. Now, what?
Awesome.
What do you think that shows about the difference between us and Canada?
Well, I think, in my opinion, what it means is that we have more companies that are, being created. We're more aggressive.
Yep.
We have more entrepreneurship.
That's it.
Yep.
Absolutely. We have always fostered the brilliance of the human mind, out of the land, labor, capital, and entrepreneurism, the four factors of production. Canada has lots of land and labor and capital, but they don't have that spirit of innovation that has driven us for decades, and it shows. They have these old stodgy companies, and we've got these young upstarts. I hate to be so, I guess, harsh on them as I am once in a while, and Google, Facebook, and all that. But look what they've done to the world in their years. That's why the age is so young. So it's the American spirit versus the Canadian lethargy. I blame the weather.
Coming from Silicon Valley, especially going back to 1979 till just about 10 years ago, I mean, that whole valley of what used to be orchards are now buildings, and full of those buildings, when they're occupied, are full of creative people that are, looking for the next venture. A lot of those people that are working there, or not a lot, but many, then go off to form other companies and startups and things like that. So, it's highly competitive. You see it in just the culture, but also in the people that work there. I had an opportunity to see that, but had to leave.
And I missed that comment.
He said he had to leave.
I said, okay.
Yeah, for your sanity or for other reasons?
Well, for my sanity, but also to try to maintain some semblance of coinage in my pocket.
Oh, there's that too.
Yeah,
that is nice when you get up in the morning. It's nice to have bus fare.
Yeah, at least bus fare.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope it would be nice if that could happen here in the Jacksonville region. I think Florida is as a state is prime for high tech and innovation. And I know that there's a huge pocket there's a upcoming pocket in the Gainesville, Ocala area.
Good.
They have a lot of the similarities that the Bay Area had back 40 years ago. Lots of land, inexpensive, a great educational institution there. They have an innovation hub on the campus, which is amazing.
And a major difference in attitude of state and local government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supportive.
Yep. Yeah. And actually, that's a very good point, because back in the late 70s, you know, we had a more, California was more conservative.
Right.
We had a conservative governor, and
yep.
And then it changed, and you know, while there's still a lot of innovation in the Bay Area, you know, I think Florida is ripe. I as much as I'd like to see DeSantis run for the highest office of the land, I'd like him to stick around four more years. And it's not because of any other reason, but I think that this state needs him four more years.
We're just like you. And it's not going to accrue only to Florida, because he will be held up as an example of how to do it right, and there will be other governors that do the same thing. And ultimately, that's great for the national economy.
It is. That's true. Yeah. I saw this week that there was a electric vehicle company that is going to set up manufacturing facility on the, I believe, on the west side. So that, not that that's the innovation that you were talking about exactly, but that's pretty high tech business that is coming to Jacksonville. So that was a big win for us.
Yeah, our technology is pretty good around here.
Yeah, I think let's hope that the you know, that they are able to sell vehicles, because a lot of these electric vehicle companies, they go on the stock market, they have valuations that are greater than GM and Ford, and
yep.
they haven't yet to produce a product. So
yeah,
you know, I don't know, that whole electric vehicle world, it seems a little funny to me. but
I'd invest in charging station manufacturers then.
But you know what? I'll ride the momentum up.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You might as well. It's your friend for now. Yep. Adam, we've got Greg's address, don't we?
Merry Christmas. I look forward to hearing myself again on the next year, the first weekend of January.
Okay, Greg, I'm going to put you on hold and get your address. Adam isn't sure we have retained it from before, so let's do that, and Lauren will take it from you. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And I'm sure when y'all see studies that say things that you are interested in, you probably are rather discriminating in trying to find out, okay, well, what was the basis of their hypothesis mm-hmm. that they're coming out?
Absolutely.
If somebody said, whenever the market is over its long-term average, that means it's overpriced.
Well, what do you mean by long-term average? Average what? Average P.E. ratio?
That's a good one.
Average a distance from its moving average. There's
average Dow.
I don't think you can measure the average Dow, because how do I put that?
During a period of rampant growth of earnings, that number is going to go up and up and up, and it will become overvalued eventually, but it isn't while it's on the way up. It's really only reflective of the business climate, I would say.
Well, the reason I ask the question in that way
mm-hmm.
is, I don't know if you happen to have somebody share with you, because most of us don't subscribe to the TU anymore. There was an above-the-fold front page, big, bold print study, housing overvalued. And if you read into the statistics that these two professors came up with, by the way, from South Florida, they used no data from Jacksonville.
Okay.
They said whenever the price of homes exceeds the long-term average growth rate,
that's
overpriced.
I would prefer comparing it to incomes, average incomes. I think okay. that's a more accurate reflection of affordability, and I don't think that you can because if incomes are rising at an enormous rate and housing prices are doing the same and people can afford houses, then what does it matter how quickly, what the growth rate is?
Yeah.
Well, my point was the base would fall.
That they're poised to fall?
It becomes what we publicize.
Well, that we're short, though. We have an inventory problem in this country.
Yeah,
and you're not going to see a fall during an inventory crisis. Long-term, you know, it always pulls back long-term. How many times have we been through it? 2008 was a bad one, but the problem is it's unpredictable.
Yeah, if you tried to guess it, you'll get it wrong.
Yep.
Since 1975 through 2019, it was 4%.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
All right, Marshall, I gotta run, pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
We've just been chuckling a little bit. I don't see any reason we can't talk about this.
We have a few things to get to, but
yeah.
One is, what do you call someone who pays a $10 billion tax bill in 1 year?
And I said, I call them wealthy.
And I said, no, according to Elizabeth Warren, you call them a freeloader. That was what started the Twitter war with Elon Musk. Elon is looking at a potential tax bill for 2021 of over $10 billion, billion with a B.
Yeah. No individual throughout history.
That we know of.
Yeah.
IRS doesn't release tax data.
But no individual that anyone can come up with right now has ever paid that kind of money in 1 year. And Elizabeth Pocahontas says this person is a freeloader.
Well, Elon decided to get on Twitter and basically destroy her.
He did a fine job of it.
Did a really good job. And my favorite was just that he called her Senator Karen.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so, this is a guy who has already moved out of California into Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He's building a major, major car factory there. I think he's maybe going to get into the battery business there. He's got the space stuff down in the Houston area,
mm-hmm.
and he's bringing in hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars of payroll for the people, managerial and otherwise, that are moving there. And Texas has just got to be looking at him saying, man, I never even thought it would be this good.
Yeah, seriously. That's like
it is fabulous.
That's like if you're a basketball team and you landed Michael Jordan back in
exactly.
the day. It's like the best possible scenario for someone to move to your state is him. And then you've got people attacking him. And my favorite part about it is that he got rich selling a product to wealthy white liberals. So, you know, that's who buys Teslas. And I don't know. The whole thing's just ridiculous.
Wasn't he part of the original PayPal startup?
He's been involved in a bunch of things, but the Tesla brand is
right.
What I was referring to.
Yeah.
He's been involved in Silicon Valley for quite a while with a number of different ventures. And PayPal was.
But you never saw him utilize his power, I guess, for so much good as he's done in the last year or two.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting out of California.
He's become a target because he left California.
Exactly.
And he was never this overtly political before, at least that I ever saw, but he started to get attacked by one side, and so he's just defended himself, and now he's becoming more political, I guess.
Now, did he vote for Biden? I don't know, and I don't care. I
have no idea.
No, all I care is that he's bringing to the forefront some things that are pretty obvious. Warren wants to pack the court now.
Yeah.
She wants to add the two states, pack the Senate that way, and parliamentarian has said, no, you can't do that.
Right.
So, that has to be an actual bill introduced and run through the whole thing.
Correct.
And then Bernie Sanders says that 98% of the country is being held up by Joe Manchin.
No.
No.
No, that's incorrect.
49 senators, which is probably closer to 44 or 45 if you really want
right.
the truth.
I think there's some that are not thrilled about it, but are because they know Manchin will stand up for it, they will not say anything.
Yeah, if I were in the head of the Senate, the power structure, I'd be reprinting the letterhead for Manchin with an R after it.
Yeah, I don't think think he'll switch. Well, he said he would go independent if anything, but we'll see what happens with that.
That they, he said, if they don't leave me alone, or if they push me out, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Just like that.
And speaking of Build Back Better, one of the provisions in that was to end the backdoor Roth move. And since that is not going to pass this year, it looks like we will be able to do that again next year. I had put it on my end of the year, 10 things to do by the end of the year list that I talked about last week, because I thought it was going to become illegal. Now we might be able to do it again next year. So and that's good news.
Did remind Adam, there's always one last push through the Congress of technical corrections and things that are expiring that they don't want to expire. They push them ahead a year, something like that. There's an outside chance that could happen. There's still an outside chance that they might relieve people in my age group of the RMD beginning. Next year's our first one for people born after June 30th, 1949. We might get another year of reprieve on that thing.
But that's still a might.
That's a might, yeah. A lot of things are might. But I would promise everybody, when that comes out, we will be on top of it, and we'll be talking about all the little things that happened. And if you can still do the backdoor Roth, and for people who don't know what it is, it's for people who make too much money to contribute to an IRA, so they contribute, but they don't deduct it. You never make too much money to contribute to an IRA.
Right.
That's not part of the law.
The deductibility.
It's who can deduct it.
But you can make too much money to contribute to a Roth.
Yes, you can. So, therefore, there's a workaround called the backdoor Roth.
The only thing, I actually got a question from a listener about the backdoor Roth, and I wanted to give the warning that if you have money in another traditional IRA, you may want to think twice about doing a backdoor Roth. So the reason for that is
taxation's not the same.
Yeah, the taxation will end up killing the benefit of doing the Roth, the backdoor Roth. So if you have questions about that, feel free to call us in the office, 904-685-1505 during business hours, or you can email us at info@vanweefinancial.com.
And there is another workaround for those people, too, if they're in the right situation. If you're self-employed, have a small business, and don't have other employees, you could start a personal 401k plan and move all your other IRA money into it. And I know it can be done.
Yeah.
I
did it as well.
Yep. So. But we're big fans of the backdoor Roth. I still have the wish list for Congress that just never seems to get talked about too much. The reason for having such a low limit on IRA contributions is beyond my comprehension.
No, I don't get it either. It makes no sense.
No. So there's a lot of things to start thinking about before year end. And some of them are financial and others are less financial and more personal, but doing things like reviewing your insurance, reviewing your beneficiary designations, you know, people generally have a little bit more time over the holidays, and they can think about things that are kind of hard to do when you're busy, busy, busy with the job and the kids, the school, and all of that. And I just refer to it as getting organized time.
Yep, the 10 things that I talked about last week, make a traditional IRA contribution or make a Roth contribution, do a backdoor Roth, take your RMD if you haven't already, get that done today.
That's a biggie because they're backed up.
Yep. Consider a qualified charitable deduction if you are over age 72 and you're forced to take an RMD, but you don't want to, but you'd rather give it to charity than get taxed on it. Mm-hmm. Do a qualified charitable distribution. It's a great move and everybody wins.
And for people listening to this show on January 1, it's not too late to open and or contribute to an IRA, even retroactive to 2021.
If you're eligible for a 401k at your job, consider increasing the amount you're depositing by 1% in the new year. So that's
absolutely
valid
wonderful.
Today. It'll be valid on January 1st as well. Yep. Set a budget for yourself. Most people's least favorite word in the financial project process is the B word or budget. Try it out. It really might help you. If budgeting isn't your strength, set a plan to tackle your debt. Start with that and then move to the budget. But figure out how you're going to get that credit card paid off or your car paid off or whatever else, what other money you have outstanding. Figure out a way to pay it off.
There are three fundamental approaches to that. and I think I got just enough time to run through them. And this is thank you very much to Clark Howard for coming up with some of the stuff on his website, clark.com. He's invaluable. List all your debts except your mortgage and rank them two different ways. One from the lowest balance to the highest balance, and one from the highest interest rate to the lowest interest rate. Snowballing, these are all winter names. Snowballing says pay everything you can extra on the lowest debt balance. Disregard the interest rate. The reverse of that, more or less, is you start with the one with the highest interest rate, and you pay all your extra every month on that till it's gone. And then that's called avalanching, for those of you who have never heard it before. That's the debt avalanche. And then the hybrid is the blizzard. Somebody has an obsession with cold weather, I guess.
Apparently.
But the blizzard says start out by snowballing. Get rid of the bottom couple of debts because it gives you a little more cash flow and it gives you a great sense of pride that you're making some headway. Then switch to the avalanche to get rid of the high debt. And when that's all done, you will have saved time and money. And you can say you got out of debt in a blizzard of, what, intelligence? Smart move?
I like it.
I like it, too. Well, here we go. Last show of the year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all. Please join us again at the first part of the year. This is the Banway Financial Hour.